This is Bach to Bach, the podcast opening up the world of classical music, one beer at a time.
And today, we're getting wicked dark.
You might remember Luke Livingston from our second episode ever, long before we'd grown to be the podcasting megastars that we are today. He is the founder of Baxter Brewing Company. He's a good friend and an all-around wonderful human being. If you're a Mainer or have ever been to Maine, you've almost certainly had his beer. Brewed up in the beautiful mills of Lewiston, which is where we last visited him, and sampled some of their Hayride Autumn Ale and the Phantom Punch Stout. But with a trove of new styles coming out, it was high time that we sat down with him again and talked all things music and beer.
So we all immediately reached for a drink.
All right, so we are now a year and a half later, rejoining.
Wow. So long. How did that happen? You don't look a day over
five.
A year and a half ago.
I don't age.
Yeah, you haven't aged.
I have exponentially better hair, but that's a different story.
I think you look younger than you did a year and a half ago.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Benjamin Button is right. Anyway, so we're back with Luke Livingston from Baxter Brewing Company, who is our second guest ever.
Yeah.
For Bach to Bach.
November of 2000.
Which means no one heard it.
And our equipment and recording skills were much more remedial.
That was the one, we used that mic that one time, and now it's gone on to a better home.
Yep.
A farm in the country.
Yeah.
And now it's
upstate. Yeah. It's never coming back.
Mm-mm.
But a lot's happened on both ends for the podcast and for you. So before we dive into the beers we're talking about today, give us a little bit about Baxter. You just had your 6-year anniversary.
Yeah. Speaking of time flies. We just turned 6 years old, which you know, in the beer world makes us grandfatherly at this point. there are now over 90 breweries in the state of Maine.
Wow.
Yeah. We have the 16th license. There, you know, 6 years later, there are 70 plus additional breweries.
You were the 16th.
Yes, sir. There are now more than 90.
So you guys are the new kid on the block. Are they coming to you now for advice when they're starting up? How is that working?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. We, at the 2015, I guess, which, you know, so we were that much younger. 2015, the Maine Brewers Guild hosts a big brew fest at Thompson's Point, Portland, every summer, big fundraiser for the guild. And all the breweries were lined up alphabetically. So our booth was right next to Bigelow Brewing up in Farmington. And I had been away from our table most of the day and came back, and the owner of Bigelow introduced himself to me and said, "Oh, you know, it's so nice to meet you. You're such a legacy." And I was like, "Really appreciate it. With all due respect, not fucking possible. Like, it's been, at the time, like, not quite 5 years. Like, chill out, bro. I appreciate it. People who are much more of a legacy than I am." Yeah, you know, and wow. Again, fast forward a year and a half later, and it's still, so yes, to the long-winded answer to your question, it's crazy to, you know, to be turning six and be in that sort of advisory role.
Among the veterans, I mean.
Unheard of, I think, in probably any other industry.
Is it similar across state lines? Like, I don't know about you, Kev, but I haven't really looked outside the state to see the age of the breweries popping up.
Breweries and Massachusetts breweries.
You know, is six considered old among New Hampshire and Vermont?
Well, I think New Hampshire, actually.
Yeah.
There's only ones that have been around there for a long time are Smutty Nose.
There are a couple in New Hampshire, Smutty Nose, and I'm going to sound like an asshole because I can't remember everybody's name either, but Tuckerman on the White Mountains, or, you know, a handful of guys in New Hampshire who have been around for a long time. Portsmouth Brewery too, they're probably even more to your point as a state, probably collectively newer even than Maine. But you're seeing that very similar growth numbers nationally for sure.
Yeah.
You know, Maine. Mainers love Maine made beer, as you guys are certainly discovering through the course of this podcast. But so the craft beer consumption ratio in Maine, you know, as ratio to total beer consumed, the market share in Maine is probably, I haven't checked in a while, but I'd say it's at least 30%, which is far above a national average of about 9% market share.
Holy cow.
So Mainers definitely love their Maine beer. And I think a lot of people in Maine will drink Maine beer. They don't give a shit necessarily about craft beer. They just want to drink, support a local product or a Maine-made product. And you don't see that loyalty necessarily elsewhere in the country. But that being said, you know, we're finding since we last talked, our distribution's expanded. Mm-hmm. We're selling beer all the way down to New Jersey now.
Cool.
And we're definitely seeing that in Jersey and everywhere in between.
And as far as your distribution down there, is it in vast amounts, or is it like,
fairly limited distribution. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we're going back to Maine for a second. We're very lucky to make beer in Maine. And even when we get as far away from home as New Jersey, we're still regional, certainly. But we run into people in Jersey, for instance, all the time, who still have some kind of connection to the state of Maine. You know, whether that's they, you know, had a vacation home here, or they went to summer camp here, or whatever they used to live here, whatever the case may be. Maine has such a great cachet in sales as we get further and further away from home that I don't think we'd experience if we were making beer from, you know, Idaho. No offense to Idaho, but
yeah, no, it's okay. they can take a hit now and then.
They got potatoes.
And you guys were pioneering. We talked about it in that very first episode with you, but you have set a trend that I think a lot of other breweries are copying of using cans. Back then we talked about it because it was environmentally responsible. Yep. It was more economical. And now you know, everyone was bottles, and now we're seeing more and more and more breweries using cans as well.
Do you feel that, like, not copying, but...
well, what is it? The imitation is
the best form of flattery.
Yeah, certainly. We, you know, as I said last time, we were the first brewery in New England to be metal only, package all of our beer only in cans and kegs. And we still hear it often, very often, that, you know, people will say when cans, especially here in the state, we hear a lot like, oh, like Baxter, quote unquote, when other breweries are releasing cans.
Right.
So it's, you know, maybe it's that grandfatherly role. Yeah. I don't know, but
paying homage.
I think people certainly acknowledge that we were the first in the area to do it, and we still hear that all the time, which is an awesome position to be in for sure.
What have been some of the breweries or at least direction of beer in the state that's been that you've seen from other breweries that have excited you a little bit?
Oh, that's an excellent question.
I know. That's why I asked.
Some of the things I think that are exciting right now that I really appreciate. So, you know, at the time when we started canning, the technology really didn't exist to do small release cans.
Okay.
You had to buy pre-printed cans, and the vast majority of what we do now is still pre-printed, but we're talking 150,000 cans minimum order just to produce something. So it was a lot higher barrier to entry. There are several different ways now, different companies, different lots of innovation on doing kind of smaller scale runs of cans, which is exciting and something that we're certainly looking heavily into doing. And the Crowler, I'm sure you guys have seen you know, what is it, 32 ounce,
32
I think.
Ounce, yeah.
The half gallon or quarter gallon, right?
It'd be quarter gallon.
Quarter gallon, you know, big ass
can.
seal on demand can. You know, locally, I know Liquid Riot has one in Portland, mm-hmm. and Sunday River Brewing. There are a couple other people in Maine who have them.
That's still not a big thing that's picked up here. Actually, in New York State, that's actually something that's picked up a lot.
So that's something we're definitely looking at as well. But you know, I think in general, the exciting thing with that many breweries, the two most exciting things are certainly just continued market awareness. I think that 30% or so market share in Maine is just going to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, we all push each other to continue to innovate. Nobody can really sit on their laurels anymore. You have to constantly be releasing new products and new ideas, and innovation's the name of the game, as it should be.
Yeah, otherwise it gets stale.
Yeah.
There's no progress made.
Ooh.
Coming in hot. Okay, yep. So curious, so as now we're a year and a half later, how has business been in Lewiston, where you're based? How has been the tasting room and engagement? Has Lewiston grown as a city? Is it getting there?
Yeah. You know, I feel like, and I was actually just talking a couple days ago to a gentleman who's in running for mayor in Lewiston now, Ben Chin, a personal friend of mine and young guy, and we've suddenly gotten political, which was not necessarily my intent, but I think he would be, you know, do wonderful things for the city of Lewiston. But he and I were just talking, you know, as he's supposed to, engaging his potential business constituents and asking about how things in Lewiston were. And I feel like as a city, there was such tremendous progress in the city around the same time that we were opening, you know, I'd say 2009 through 2013 or so, just a ton of investment in downtown and people buying and rehabbing buildings and new restaurants and bars opening.
Right.
And we've sort of plateaued, I think, a little bit as a city right now. We're not going backwards by any stretch, but we've hit this bit of a plateau, and Ben and I were just talking about how to, you know, what's the next catalyst to get to that next...
There's an upswing, yeah.
Get up to the next plateau. What
would you like to see as far as, because you're obviously bringing a lot to Lewiston.
Yeah. So here I'll tee up a great business opportunity for anybody who wants to take it on. There is not yet in downtown Lewiston, Auburn, there's not yet a great bar first.
Okay.
There are wonderful bars that exist inside restaurants. The bar inside Da Vinci's, the bar inside Fuel, Fishbones, etc. And there are some, you know, and then there are kind of divier bars, but nobody in Lewiston in particular. A couple places in Auburn that are very close, but in downtown Lewiston, you know, on Lisbon Street yet, there doesn't exist a place that is a bar first and foremost. You know, I'm thinking like a Thirsty Pig like joint. They could do food. But the emphasis is on good beer, you know, craft cocktails, something like that. Right. There are some places that are really, really close. Marche and in Lewiston's very, very close, but it's also very tiny. And you know, 2/3 of the place is their kitchen. Right. So there, you know, the first person to do that in the community, I think, is going to be able to print money.
Right.
There's many people who live in Lewiston, Auburn, as Portland proper has the same, you know. The same population density. Fuel in Lewiston, one of their best-selling drinks is a $17 martini, so there are clearly people in the community who are willing to spend money to drink well.
Yeah.
We definitely, at Baxter, see a lot of foot traffic and an increase. You know, I don't have, in front of me, I don't have actual numbers of, like, exponentially how much our traffic has grown, but anecdotally, it absolutely has. We see a lot more people in, you know, through the tasting room that we used to on a Saturday afternoon. And new little brewery in Lewiston, Bare Bones, just opened recently, you know, a few months ago, and their tap room is rocking all the time too.
They have a really
cool
logo.
They do. Cool logo. For sure. So there's definitely the people there and the interest there.
And you guys have been doing fun engagement like yoga and then the sound.
We've done a couple. We call them the Bend and Brew. Like quarterly or so, and they've all sold out. So we're definitely trying to do. You know, we just had our 6th anniversary party at the brewery. You know, it was packed, and we had food trucks and brought out some special barrel aged beers specifically for it. And that's, you know, that's definitely some things happening. You know, you feel like we're close to a tipping point still.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like it's been close to that tipping point for a few years. So we need some kind of push, but we're definitely close.
Well, speaking of the beers we just talked about, let's dive into what beers we're featuring today.
Yeah.
We're drinking now. So we're We're sipping on Wicked Dark.
And we had to clear a mountain of Ritz crackers off the can because everyone here was a bit hangry, I think, before.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of which.
So Wicked Dark is, this is the first time you ever released it. It's Imperial Stout, 10.8.
I just realized that nodding doesn't work.
No, yeah.
Nodding isn't going to get us very far
in podcast land.
In podcast land, yeah.
10.6%.
10 even.
10 even.
10 even, yeah. Don't get ahead of yourself. We're not too big.
I'm just learning how to read, so it's getting there.
That's why our quiz only goes to 3 questions.
That's right.
Oh, right. We have no questions for the quiz,
ooh,
too.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, yeah. Can't wait. Wicked Dark, we're going to release it twice this year. So it's out on shelves now. We released it middle of February. Yep. And then we're going to release it again in November, just in time for Thanksgiving.
You've been doing a big push. I've been seeing it coming up on my Facebook feeds, and it's been awesome. Seems like it's been great.
Good.
It's working.
Good. No, that means we're doing something right. 60-ounce 4-pack. Certainly find it all the places that, you know, that craft beer, specialty beer sold from here to New Jersey. It's Wicked Dark. Now, if you saw the phenetic below, the phenetic, yeah, spelling here in the can,
Wicked
too.
Dak,
D-A-H-K. Wicked Dark, bub.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, sir. Big Imperial Stout, 10% ABV. It was a monster. It actually took several people to brew it. Not to get too technical, but our grist case above the mash tun, the big stainless steel tank that holds all of the milled grain before we mash in, was not big enough to hold all of the malted barley that goes into this beer. So we, as one brewer was mashing in, we actually had to have another guy at the mill feeding 50-pound bags of grain into the mill to kind of replenish the grist case because it couldn't hold everything ahead of time.
Oh, man.
So it was laborious, a labor of love for sure. But
it's so good.
Now, is this replacing Phantom Punch or is Phantom Punch done?
Phantom Punch has gone into the vault, as we like to say, to take one from Walt Disney himself. going back in the vault for a little while. Just, you know, time to release something new. Wicked Dark will come out this year. As I said, we're doing it twice. Probably in 2018, we'll release it. Likely every November is probably where it's going to slot in into the system, but I wouldn't say replace isn't the right word.
Yeah,
very different beers.
I like the vault.
Certainly, yeah,
I like the vault.
Yeah, but I'm psyched about this beer. It's a personal favorite style of mine. Love big stouts, especially this time of year. And we did set a little bit of liquid aside this year to put into some whiskey barrels. No definitive plans yet. We'll keep that one between ourselves, but and the audience.
And
but,
listeners, yeah.
Stay tuned. We'll do something fun with it for sure.
That kind of stuff's great. And then also right around, actually should be the canning should start now for your other one you just announced, Coastal Haze.
Yeah. We're shipping it this week. It's so this year we've expanded upon our what was formerly our seasonal program. So like a lot of breweries over the last few years, we've released 4 seasonals a year, kind of a spring, summer, autumn, and winter. We've taken that series this year and expanded upon it. We're now calling it our Revolver series, and we've added 2 to it. So we have 6 total Revolvers, a new beer every 2 months. So we started this year with Window Seat again, our silver medal award winning kind of first quarter beer. I hate to call it spring because it's been warm. Hate to refer to it as spring when it comes out the first week of the year. But that's our coconut almond porter. And it's being replaced right now with followed up right now with Coastal Haze Imperial Hefeweizen.
Which was originally called
On the Count of Three. Yeah, it was what we released in
2014?
In the spring of 2014 for our third anniversary. And we did it in 16-ounce cans at the time. It's coming back now in 12-ounce cans under the new name Coastal Haze Imperial Hef. Don't let any of the other beers hear me say this because it's like picking a favorite child, but if we'll put the earmuffs on, it's probably my favorite beer that we've ever brewed commercially, at least.
That's saying something.
It's brewed in the kind of traditional Hefeweizen style. So a ton of wheat notes and a ton of that sort of banana clove flavors you get from the German Hefe yeast. But then we added a whole shitload of American hops to it.
And weren't you trying to use local for this or no?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So this year, actually, all of the wheat in this beer was malted at Blue Ox Malt House in Lisbon, Maine. Which is really fun, and all the brewers and I actually got to go to Blue Ox when they were floor malting our wheat in particular. Mm-hmm. I've got some really cool pictures of it I can send to you to put in the show notes if you want. We got to actually rake the malt or the wheat, as the case may be, the malted wheat, which is a really neat experience. None of us had gotten to do that before. Huh. And then the Blue Ox guys came to us for one of our brew days too.
And it's
cool brew. So it's got Maine grown, Maine malted wheat in every batch. All the wheat was grown and malted here in the state, which is really exciting.
Is that something you'd like to do more in some aspect if it's possible?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have a great relationship with Joel at Blue Ox and his team. Really awesome folks doing awesome stuff over there. And absolutely encourage everybody to go check out their system. We're continuing conversations on how to do this more often. Certainly in this beer going forward, but in other aspects as well. So Coastal Haze is 12-ounce 6-pack now, and it will be out until for March and April, and then we'll release Summer Swelter again. So
that's come up really fast.
Yeah. Right. Holy cow. And then the other new beer, I'll way preemptive here, but in July, we'll release Ceremony, which is a green tea IPA. We
did that a couple years.
We
back.
We brewed for our fourth anniversary. Yeah, exactly. So that's coming into the fold as well. That will be the sixth Revolver in July.
Have you tried like tea brewing a lot before, or
that's the only one we've made on a commercial scale. It's brewed with gunpowder and matcha green tea. Nice. And that will come out in July. And then Hayride and a to-be-decided sixth Revolver in the end of the year when Phantom Punch would be out. So.
And Hayride is, of course, the first beer we ever tasted in that episode.
Anything exciting as far as Baxter events or things like that coming from starting in spring going into the summer?
Good question. We're certainly doing I'm losing track here. Third annual, right? Fourth? Four. I need more or less beer. I mean, that weird kind of
the Brewfest.
The Great Falls Brewfest. It's the fourth annual. Yeah. Great Falls Brewfest in Lewiston.
That's June 24th.
June 24th. Yes, sir. You've done your research. That's a while. So greatfallsbrewfest.com. We've got two exciting bands lined up. The headlining band I booked personally. I'll tell you, 16-year-old Luke is really excited. The Toasters, New York City-based ska band that's been around forever, is headlining the Great Falls Brewfest this year. And I'm personally going to skank my ass off.
Skank the whole night.
Absolutely. I cannot wait. For sure.
And that's held right in downtown Lewiston?
Right. Smart Pain Memorial Park, right on the river, right in downtown Lewiston. Nice. We're expecting about 10% more breweries this year. We'll have over 40 breweries for the first time.
Wow.
Half a dozen or more food trucks, cornhole tournament. There's disc golf. The Greater Androscoggin Humane Society brings their puppy pen. I don't know of any other brew fest with puppies.
Pen, but that's all I need.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just an epic day. We've actually expanded it by an extra hour of drinking this year, too.
Hey.
So, early bird tickets still available if you're listening to this close to release date.
It's going to come fast. I'm playing with Ghost of Polar Beer that day.
I'll be there alone then. Playing puppies.
Yeah.
Playing puppies and drinking beer.
Yep. Come volunteer. We need volunteers.
So before we get to the quiz, where can we find Baxter Brewing? Online, location-wise?
BaxterBrewing.com, Facebook.com/BaxterBrewing, Instagram. We actually just, I'll plug real quick too, we're just launching a new Instagram contest, I guess, for lack of a better word. So we encourage anybody, if they're out, if they pick up a 4-pack of Wicked Dark or 6-pack of Coastal Haze, whatever the case may be, any of our beers, if you're out enjoying one of our cans in any activity, if you're
hiking,
cleaning the yard, spring cleaning or hiking or whatever the case may be.
Mixed martial arts.
Exactly. Take a picture. Post it to social media, hashtag How Do You Baxter. We've got a contest going right now where we're picking some of our favorite images from the How Do You Baxter campaign and actually putting the pictures on the back of coasters.
Nice.
So that, cool. I think we're...
And should they tag Baxter Brewing in the photo as well?
You certainly can, but we'll find you if you say just hashtag How Do You Baxter, and we'll find you in our favorite four pictures, I think, get chosen to be on the back of coasters.
That's so awesome.
We're going to have to submit.
That's it. Absolutely.
Make sure we look good.
And then certainly visit the tap room too. We're right in the Bates Mill, right downtown Lewiston.
Awesome.
And that's where we did our first recording, and it is definitely worth the trip.
It's an amazing, amazing location.
And you get to see everything going on right on the other side of the glass right
yeah.
there. It's to see where the product came from, it doesn't get any better than that.
All right. So, update since you've been last been on. So now it's a 3-question back-to-back quiz.
All right.
Cut it in half.
So, we cut it in half.
It's my best. I can't count above one hand. So.
I can't either. Sure. I can't count in the first place. So the way it works, Maddie says the question number. I say the question.
Easiest part.
You say the...
You lucked out.
And right. I will say for the first question, get as specific as possible.
Okay.
Especially as you come from the beer industry.
Okay.
Okay?
Way to give him a heads up.
That's right.
All right.
I still have no idea.
All right, here we go. Number one.
So what beer best describes your personality?
I should have done my research and listened to everybody who went on before me.
Yeah,
and
you should have. That's okay.
I didn't. Clearly.
God, let's start with style.
Style has... we'll go with the... I have no idea why. Because you're going to ask me to like... To
no, I'm not going to ask anything. All right, else.
Fine. The Alaskan Smoked Porter.
Okay. That's it?
That, yes.
Okay. Because just to give you a little backstory, the last two guests said Raging Bitch and Arrogant Bastard. So I thought it was very appropriate.
That is. That's... Right. I wasn't thinking that creative.
That's okay.
So good job for them.
Yeah. Those artistic types.
Right?
They are.
Jeez. All right.
Number two.
What superpower are you dying to have?
Ooh. What superpower am I dying? I'm not dying to have any particular superpower. Invisibility would be pretty awesome, though.
That's a new one so far.
Yeah,
no one's
used or that. No, I'm taking that back. I wish I was Alex Mack. I didn't take my hand off the game piece. So
that's right.
I wish I was Alex Mack.
Okay, that's still a new one for us. Yeah. All right, last one.
Well, number three.
All right, so what celebrity are you dying to have try Baxter beer?
Alex Mack.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
That's got really boring. Okay. Again, so Luke Livingston, thank you for being on. You can check the Baxter Brewing Company out at baxterbrewing.com or on the socials at Baxter Brewing. Thank you for bringing along the Wicked Dark and your handsome good looks.
Thank you, guys.
It was great to have you back on.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
This has been another episode of Bock to Bock. Cheers.
Let's admit it. We all have a need to be obsessed with something, whether it's over the newest crazed, physical objects, or simply obsessed with how we want to live our lives. We all want that obsession. For composer Franz Liszt, that obsession was, oddly enough, death. Franz Liszt was fascinated by the idea of death with regards to religion and the topics of heaven and hell. Now imagine taking that obsession and then writing a piece of music about it, and then having that piece of music take almost 20 years to complete. Well, for Liszt's work Totentanz, that's exactly what happened. Totentanz, or Dance of the Dead, is a symphonic work for solo piano and orchestra. So this piece was originally planned in 1838. Its first round of completions was done by 1849, but the final revisions were completed in 1859. Now the instruments in the orchestra, especially the solo piano, reflect all the different ways we think about death. In the very beginning, it sounds almost like a walking of a grim reaper is heavy-footed and trudging sound that's bringing us towards the depths of hell. Later on, in the middle, it's almost like as if it's straight out of a Tim Burton movie. Very playful, as if it's like Nightmare Before Christmas. What better work to choose for this episode than Totentanz? Because let's face it, this piece is wicked dark. Subscribe to Bock to Bock on iTunes and follow us on social media at Bock to Bock.